Welcome to AXA Excel's Let's Talk podcast on Fast Fast Forward. Today we're talking to James Martin about Cube, the world's first risk innovation incubator. James is Global Client Management Leader at AXA Excel in London. He's worked in the insurance industry and the London insurance market for 22 years and was an insurance broker before joining AXA Excel 11 years ago. In his current role, James is responsible for designing, building, and implementing the global client management model within AXA Excel to ensure consistency in how we engage with corporate clients around the world. James also supports dedicated client management teams in each of their local markets. As global client management leader, he helps to facilitate the development and sharing of best practice and drives a customer-first culture and mindset throughout the business. James is also a member of the AXA Excel Global Corporate Social Responsibility Steering Committee. And outside of work, he's a trustee of Variety, the children's charity. James was part of the team that launched Cube in late 2019 to help clients to find co-created solutions to their most complex challenges. He tells us how the idea for Cube came about, how the process works, and what it can do for risk managers. Good morning, James. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Innovation is something that we talk about a lot, both as something that brings a risk and opportunity to clients, but also for insurers as something that can be used to meet their evolving needs and to find solutions for some of their most complex problems. James, you were part of the team that launched Cube, the world's first risk innovation incubator, last year. Can you tell us a little bit about why it was launched?
Sure. So we were looking at a number of the projects that we had done over the past few years, where we had tried to innovate, where we had tried to work with clients. And we also looked at the way some of our competitors had been talking about the innovation that they did. And we just felt that there was time for change. We felt that there was an opportunity to do things better than the way we had done it before. We could point at a couple of specific projects that we had done where it had just taken a really long time to get people engaged in the first place and to get them committed to the process and then to come up with the solution that we wanted to come up with. So we felt that we could do things more quickly. We also looked at the way that some people felt maybe a little bit daunted by the idea of innovation. So they liked to talk about it and they liked the concept of being innovative, but didn't really quite know how to do it or where to start or who to do it with.
Right.
Because it seems like quite a difficult thing to actually put into practice. And then finally, when we looked across the competitor landscape, we saw a lot of people talking about how they were innovating for themselves or innovating to create new products and new revenue streams, which didn't necessarily have the client in mind. So we just felt that there was a way that we could do something more in partnership with our clients, more quickly, that had more of a structure and a process around it and gave some definition to what innovation should be about. And it was those kinds of ideas that led to Cube being developed in the first place.
Great, thank you. And can you tell us, I guess, a bit more about how that partnership structure works, how the Cube itself works, the process?
Sure. Well, as you say, I mean, we keep using the word process, and I think that's really the key to it. So you know, innovation isn't this sort of fluffy conceptual idea. It is just a way of doing things. It's a process, like everything. If you apply a process to it, and it makes me sound a bit nerdy, really. But if you apply a process to it, it just makes it work. And that's what innovation for me is really about. So we engaged with a consultancy called 90, who impressed us. They impressed us with two things. The first thing was that they were purely an innovation consultancy who only worked with insurance companies. So they really knew our industry and our sector and our clients, and they knew a lot about innovation. And the second thing we really liked about them was that they were a social enterprise. So 90% of their distributable profits go to charitable causes around the world. So we not only liked the idea that they were really professionals and really knew what they were doing, but that as well as creating something new for us and our clients, we were also doing some good and providing some benefit to some communities around the world that needed it. So we felt that there was like this perfect collaboration between us to build Cube. And as I said, it was really about breaking down the work that we'd done before to say, we don't necessarily need to completely invent something groundbreaking here. We just need to take what we've always done, which is working with our clients to solve and help them solve their problems, and find a new way of doing it. Use some different techniques, use some different methodologies and some different tools, and put it into a format that clients could really get their heads around and get their arms around. And what that also meant for us, the benefit for us in doing that, was that we could put something, we could put a brand around it. We could make it scalable and repeatable. And so that all of our colleagues in different roles around the world could take this process as a thing and go and sell it and sell the idea and get clients to really buy into it and get behind it. And that would be easier than basically taking what we had done before, reinventing this way of helping clients solve a problem every single time.
Right. Uh-huh. Where did the name Cube come from?
Well, funnily enough, it actually came from one of the exercises that we did with 90 during some of our early ideation sessions. And one of the techniques that they have, where they give you a cardboard box, so just a plain brown medium-sized cardboard box, and obviously that cardboard box has got six sides to it, and they broke the idea that we were trying to build down into six different sections and asked us to write a piece about it on each of the sides of the box. And so because we were doing this exercise with this box, this cube in front of us, it just sparked the idea that you know, all of the process that we were trying to build could be inside this cube, and we could invite clients to step inside the cube with us and find all of these different techniques to help us solve their problem together. We just thought that was quite neat, and so we called it Cube. Funnily enough, a lot of people thought it was an acronym for something, because we love acronyms in our business. And people were wondering if C-U-B-E stood for something. But
for something.
It's really not that complicated. It was all born out of a brown cardboard box. That was all.
Great. A cube, as you mentioned, you talked about the six sides. This is a six-week process, as far as I understand it.
It is a six-week process, and the fact that there are six sides to the cube is a complete coincidence. Mm-hmm. Although it is quite a neat fit. You're absolutely right. But yes, it's a six-week process. Shall I talk through that process?
That would be terrific. Thank you. Yeah,
in a little bit more detail. Funnily enough, before we start the process, there's a little bit of work to be done, and that bit of work that needs to be done first probably takes longer than the cube process itself, but it's really, really crucial to the success mm-hmm. of the success of the project and the success of the program. And a lot of what we've built into that is having learnt from experience of doing other projects without the cube framework and without the methodology that we have. So once a client agrees with us that we are going to go into a project with them, we spend probably 6 to 8 weeks leading in to the start of that project. And during that time, what's absolutely crucial is that we identify to the greatest extent that we can what the actual problem is that we're going to try and solve, and who are the right people to help us solve it.
Right.
And then we need a little bit of lead-in time just to get their diaries, the time and the space in their diaries, so that they're truly committed to it. So a couple of the things that we've learned as we've done projects before Cube existed were that projects fail because you don't really understand what the problem is that you're trying to solve in the first place.
Right.
Uh-huh. And the number of times that pretty decent solutions are created for the wrong problem, and therefore everyone thinks you failed, where actually you haven't failed, you've just created the solution to a different problem. So really understanding that problem at the beginning is important. And the second thing is, as I said, getting the time and the commitment of the right people to help you solve it. So we've all been in those meetings where you sit and, you know, talk for an hour or two about something, and you come away with a couple of fluffy action points that then really go nowhere, and you go back to your desk and back to your day job and forget all about it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a few weeks later, someone says, oh, we should really rethink about that project again. So if you get the commitment of the people, the time of the people, and really structure that commitment properly over the period of the project, again, it will lead to that successful outcome during the 6 weeks. And people have said, you know, 6 weeks is a really short amount of time to do this. And yes, it is a short amount of time to do it, but that's on purpose, because it commits people properly to a very focused time frame in which to get something done, so that we don't have that kind of creep over a period of time. So that's the lead-in period. The first thing that we do once we get into the 6 week process, there are two parts of the 6 weeks. There's a 2 week section and a 4 week section. The first 2 week section has two different workshops in it. The first workshop is called Find, where you take that problem that you've all agreed is the problem that you're going to try and fix, and you pick it apart and you frame it in such a way that you can start to solve it. I'm not going to go into all the different techniques that we use to do that, but there is a number of techniques during that first workshop. It's probably about half a day long. It takes all of the work that we've done in really defining that problem in the few weeks leading into the start, and it just frames that problem in a way that you can take it to the first main workshop, which is a 3-day mm-hmm. workshop. And this is probably the biggest time commitment that we have during the 6 week process. So we lock everyone in a room for 3 days.
Right.
And that 3-day work, well, we don't literally lock them in a room, obviously, but we really
you allow them food, I assume. Yeah.
Food, a bit of daylight, you know, maybe a comfort break every now and again if they get really desperate.
Good stuff.
But we really want to have that 3 days to get the brains working, and we use a number of different techniques over that 3-day period to pull this problem apart and to figure out how to solve it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now that 3-day workshop is called One Big Idea. And the reason it's called One Big Idea is because at the end of it, we want to have one big idea, which will be the solution to that problem. Okay. And to get to that solution, we'll have a number of assumptions. We'll have a number of things that we think might work, but we're not sure. And all of that will be set out in a way that we can then go into stage two, which is the 4-week part of the 6-week process. Mm-hmm. Now, at that point, there's a pause. Okay. And we do that for a really important reason. So mm-hmm. we want to assess with the client at that point whether we really have got what we think will be a solution, a workable solution to that problem or not. Okay. And if we have,
right,
we'll then go into that second 4-week part of the process. If we haven't, we'll draw a line under it there and walk away. The last thing that we want to do is to continue flogging an idea or working through a project that then isn't going to be a success. So not only does this enable us just to assess whether we're doing the right thing, it means that we can fail quickly. Okay, there's nothing wrong with failing. There's nothing wrong with spending time trying to figure out a way to solve a problem and then saying, actually, we couldn't solve it. That's not a bad thing, but doing that fast is really important rather than dragging it mm-hmm. out. So it's 2 weeks. It's a sharp time commitment. It's a 3-day workshop, and then we assess whether we're going to move forward or not. Okay.
Right.
The second part of the process, the 4 weeks, is then a little bit more relaxed, although it is still only a month. And during that time, we're basically going to experiment with the solution that we've come up with. We're going to test the assumptions, and we're going to try and drive out those kind of assumptions and uncertainty from the idea, so that at mm-hmm. the end of the 4 weeks, we can say, we came up with a solution, we've tested it, we've interviewed various stakeholders, we've built a prototype of the system or whatever it might be, so that we can be pretty certain, you know, with a high level, you know, in the 90s of certainty, that if you take that solution and you scale it through your business as the client, then it will be successful in solving the problem that we all defined at the beginning. Okay. So at the end of that, at the end of that second part of the process, the client's going to have two pieces of output. The first piece is what we call an MVP, which is a minimum viable product. In other words, a prototype of a solution, in whatever form that needs to take to be tested, to be scaled. And the second thing that they'll have is a business case. And what that business case allows them to do is to go internally within their organization and seek investment from whatever their normal processes for investment might be, to take that prototype solution and scale it through their business to solve the problem everywhere.
Right, right. I guess that's an incredibly important part of this, is having that business case, rather than just going to whoever it is that writes the check, so to speak, and saying, I need to buy a new insurance policy, but to actually have a provable business case.
And that's the point. So no finance director is going to give you tens, hundreds of thousands of pounds or millions of pounds to go and implement some new system or technology or process throughout your large, complex global business, unless you can prove to that CFO, at least with a high level of certainty, using a solid business case, that is going to have a benefit to the business. Okay, so that's why that business case is of absolute importance. So the risk owner that we're dealing with, who has the problem in the first place, can go back into their business and say, this is why we want to invest something to try and solve this problem.
In something tailored absolutely to the problem that we've identified.
Absolutely. And actually, if you think about the framing of that, it could go a little bit like this. So we know we have problem X. We know it costs us this much money per year in terms of losses that we're paying for through our own risk retentions. We know it's costing the insurance market this much money a year in claims that are above our risk retentions. If we spend this much money on a solution, it will save us X over this period of time. Okay, so you can have a very, very simple, financially thought through case with an actual solution that we've tested that can go into the business and fix this problem and have a financial benefit as well as a risk benefit. And actually, if you look at it in those terms, we're not doing anything different here to what we've done before, fundamentally. Okay, we're working with a client to identify a problem and to work through a way of solving it and supporting them in solving that. So our risk consultants and our risk engineers, our claims consultants, our underwriters do this kind of work with clients all the time. Other insurers do the same thing. Brokers do the same thing. Okay, we have done for years. It's the way the insurance market has always operated. But it's never been done with this kind of rigor. It's never been done with this kind of speed of process. And it's not been done with this kind of innovation mindset, where you would take the kind of startup idea, that the kind of boot camp incubator kind of way of doing things. So that's the difference that this brings. And so... You know, we're not changing the world here. We're just making some very slight iterations to improve the way that this kind of thing gets done. And so the sort of clients that we're looking for are ones who want to embrace different approaches. They're ones who want to try something that hasn't been done in quite the tradition, in this sort of traditional way before. And are prepared to have a go and take a bit of a risk. It might not work for them, but they don't mind, because they're that sort of innovation mindset that wants to do
that
something.
That mindset, different.
Yeah.
And when you talk to clients about this, what has the reaction been? How have they received this idea?
Well, so far it's been incredibly positive, which to be honest, doesn't surprise me at all, because we hear from clients all the time how they really want their they want two things in this context anyway, two things from their insurers. The first is to be a stronger partner to them, and the second is to be more innovative in their approach. So I think we're delivering both of those things right. through this process. It absolutely puts the client at the center of the process and works in true partnership. It's true co-creation. It's true sharing mm-hmm. of IP, you know, all the way through. It's us doing it together with our clients and for our clients all at the same time. So it's delivering on that requirement. And then it's bringing these innovation techniques and it's making innovation more accessible for clients who, as I said at the beginning, maybe were a little bit daunted by the idea of how to innovate, how to start, who to do it with. This gives them mm-hmm. really the opportunity to do that with us. So the feedback so far has been incredibly positive.
And as far as I understand it, as well as access to AXA XL's risk experts, risk consultants, and innovation teams, Cube also can give clients access to external partners. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Which again, I guess, is something that would be more difficult to do without this process.
Well, it's certainly possible to do without this process, and we do it without this process. But I think what Cube does, again, is it gives you more of that focus around getting the right people around the table. So we have loads of expertise within AXA XL and obviously then within the broader AXA group across, you know, a whole number and a whole range of different risk topics. And of course, we're really proud of all that expertise that we have, but we don't have expertise for everything. Okay. We don't have knowledge about mm-hmm. everything. And I think where we don't have that expertise in-house, we have a number of partners that we can turn to where we've been developing relationships over the years, whether they're, you know, technology partners or whether they're more traditional partnerships in terms of some more traditional risk management. And that, by the way, that's something that's quite important about Cube. I think that there's maybe a perception that Cube is about technology. Technology could be a part of the solution, but it may not be the only solution. One of the things that's really important to us is making sure that we don't jump to what we think the solution is before we start. We're just as comfortable with the solution being a good old traditional sprinkler system, right. as opposed to some new super blockchain tech-enabled IoT something or other. It could be at either end of that spectrum or anywhere in between. So we have a load of partnerships that we of people that we work with, and as I said, this is about getting the right people to the table to help fix the problem, right. and all doing it together. You know, that right. word co-creation is really important,
mm-hmm. and getting to the right solution, as you mentioned before,
getting to the right solution to the right problem.
Right. Yeah. So James, if I'm a client and I'm interested in working with Cube, what's the next step? What do I have to do?
Okay, so I think in the first instance, it needs to be a conversation between that client and whoever their regular point of contact is within AXA XL to start thinking about what problem they might want to try and solve using the Cube process. That could be anything from working with risk consulting to identify some issues that they might know about your business or about your sector. It might mm-hmm. be working with our claims team to identify some claims trends that you have within your particular business that we could use Cube to try and fix. So that kind of conversation across the experts within our business that the client already engages with mm-hmm. is probably where I'd say that first step needs to be, just to try and figure out the kind of problem area that you want to attack. We've got some procedural stuff to do, unfortunately. So there's an NDA that's going to need to be signed. There's an agreement letter that we have that we want to sign along with the client. Because as I said, this is all about making sure that we're all working together and we're all committed together in the right way through the process. The other piece to talk about is that there is a fee. So we will charge the client an amount of money to run a Cube project. couple of reasons why we feel that, we need to charge. The first one is that there is a resource element that we're employing to bring to the table. So that needs to be sure. covered. But there's also a piece here around investing and committing and being sort of, you know, financially invested in the process as well as being conceptually invested in the process. And one of the things that we found, you know, from experience of working on projects with clients and with other parties, is that when there's sort of financial investment at risk or that's been put into a project, it just makes everyone more committed to it. It's just one of those things.
Right.
What I would skin say in the about game. The fee, though, having some skin in the game, exactly. What I would say about the fee, though, is it's not all for the client to pay. So there's an overall cost to run a project, and we're going to go in 50-50 with the client on that. So it's not just about co-creating, it's about co-investing. I want us all to be aligned. I want us all to have an equivalent amount of skin in the game. Okay, so we all stand to benefit from this solution that improves the client's risk profile. Okay, we'll benefit because the client will have a better risk. The client will benefit because it will hopefully improve their risk and drive some cost out of their business. So if we all stand to benefit equally, we should all be investing equally in both time and resource, but also in terms of the financial investment as well. So we're in this 50-50 with the client all the way through. And it's that true partnership approach that we talked about.
What would you like to see Cube become? What are your aims for Cube? What are your hopes for it?
I think over a period of time, I would really like to see Cube stand on its own as the way that we work with clients to help them solve their risk problems. The way that that we get to think of the best way to explain it. Just to become the market standard, really, for matching problems and solutions together through a format that people accept is the right way to do it. I've talked before about the traditional way of doing things. I'd like Cube to become the traditional way of doing things that almost sets a benchmark for the industry around partnership and around process for innovation. For me, that would be great. But I think we're a way off that. And in the short term, we're setting up some pilots. We want to run 5 pilot programs in 2020, with clients to really just prove to ourselves and to prove to those clients that this is the way to do it. And then over a period of time, I can see us just increasing that number, increasing the resource that's behind the process, to reach as many of our clients as we possibly can.
Right. I guess it's, as you mentioned before, all about getting that mindset in place to really delve into problems and
it is.
Use this new way of doing it. James, thank you very much indeed for talking to us today. It's been really interesting.
Thank you very much for having me.
For more information on Cube, get in touch with your usual AXA Excel contact or visit axaexcel.com/cube. Thank you for listening.